You will, our scripture today is from Numbers chapter 11, verses 4 through 29. On your pew Bible, it's on page 116. The rabble among them had a strong craving, and the Israelites also wept again and said, "If only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt for nothing, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions and garlic. But now our strength is dried up, and there is nothing at all but this manna to look at." Now the manna was like coriander seed. Its color was the color of gum resin. The people went around and gathered it and ground it in a mill and beat it in mortars and then boiled it in pots and made cakes of it. The taste was like the taste of cakes baked in oil. When the dew fell on the ground in the night, the manna would fall with it. Moses heard the people weeping throughout their families and all of the entrances of their tents. Then the Lord became very angry, and Moses was displeased. So Moses said to the Lord, "Why have you treated your servants so badly? Why have I not found favor in your sight, that you lay the burdens of all these people on me? Did I conceive all this people? Did I give birth to them, that you should say to me, 'Carry them in your bosom, as a nurse carries a suckling child, to a land you have promised on oath to their ancestors'? Where am I to get meat to give to all these people? For they come weeping to me and say, 'Give us meat to eat.' I am not able to carry all this people alone, for they are too heavy for me. If this is the way you are going to treat me, put me to death at once. If I have found favor in your sight, and do not let me see my misery." So the Lord said to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tent of meeting and have them make a place there with you. I will come down and talk with you there, and I will take some of the spirit of this on you and put it on them. They shall bear the burdens of the people along with you, so that you will not bear it all by yourself. And say to the people, 'Consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, and you shall eat meat, for you have wailed in the hearing of the Lord, saying, "If only we had meat to eat." "Surely it was better for us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you meat, and you shall eat. And you shall not only have one day, or two, or five, or 10, or 20 days, but a whole month, until it comes out of your nostrils and becomes loathsome to you, because you have rejected the Lord who is among you and have wailed before him, saying, 'Why did we ever leave Egypt?' But Moses said, 'The people I am with number 600,000 on foot, and you say, I will give them meat that they may eat for a whole month? Are there enough flocks or herds to slaughter for them? Are there enough fish in the sea to catch for them?' The Lord said to Moses, 'Is the Lord's power limited? Now you shall see whether my word will come true for you or not.' So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered 70 elders of the people and placed them all around the tent. And then the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke to him and took some of the spirit that was on him and put it on the 70 elders. When the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied, but they did not do so again. Two men remained in the camp." Did I get to the point? Oh, okay. This one isn't marked quite like the one I had. "So Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord." You know, two men remained in the camp, one named Eled and the other named Medad. The Spirit rested on them. They were among those registered, but they had not gone out to the tent. And so they prophesied in the camp. And the young man ran and told Moses, "Elad and Miad are prophesying in the camp. Joshua, the son of Nun, and the assistant of Moses, one of the chosen men, said, 'May the Lord Moses stop them.' But Moses said to them, 'Are you jealous for my sake? Would that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord put his spirit on them.'" And our New Testament reading is from Mark chapter 9, verses 38 through 50, page 45 in your New Testament. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you the cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believed in me, it would be better that you have a great millstone hung around your neck and you were tossed into the sea. If your hand causes one to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to live your entire life maimed than to have two hands and go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to put 2 feet and to have 2 feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and be thrown into hell, where their worms never die, and the fires are never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourself and be at peace with one another.
Good morning. I think before I get into the scripture teaching, I want to say a little about myself, and I think these things all come together really this morning. So my name is Pastor Joanne Neal, and if you heard the welcome, you know that I'm serving now at Our Savior's Lutheran Church here in Casper, and I'm an older lady, so maybe I'm going to have to go back a little bit to my days at First Christian Church in Hanford, California. I was a newlywed in 1981 when my husband, Tim, had his first commission with the Boy Scouts of America, and it was the Boy Scouts who sent us to Hanford, which is a town in the Central Valley of California, not very big, a county seat in a small county. And my husband, Tim, and I were not churchgoers when we met. We had both come back to the town of Modesto where we met. And we eventually fell in love and got married at a friend's church, in a Methodist church. And my friend's name was Jean. But then when the Boy Scouts sent us to Modesto to serve in, you know, for him to serve, and as you know, the spouses will serve too a lot in the Scouts, especially in those days. Tim said, the biggest church with the biggest Boy Scout program is First Christian Church Hanford. Let's try that. So we did, and I really loved the church, and it had been, as I told you, a number of years since I had stopped going to the Baptist church, and I was quite moved, even from the very first time that I worshiped there. And so it feels really good to me to be here today in a way that reminds me of the days when I first sensed my call to ministry. Now, what has this got to do with the scriptures we just heard? Well, maybe a little, because as you know, sometimes the churches that have the old denominational names like Methodist, that was my friend's church where we got married, Baptist, a lot of Baptists started in the Restoration Movement back in the 1800s, some Lutherans even, and a bunch of other churches, especially Presbyterian pastors, were, as you know, and as you could tell me more about it, involved in the Restoration Movement in the 1800s. And so what I'm trying to say is, in the words of Jesus, those who are not against us are for us. And I believe this in a very deep way, that all who bear the name of Christ will be considered as people in one grand family of believers around the world through every time and every place. So it is a great pleasure for me to be here with you today, and I'm happy that Pastor Cynthia invited me and that she'll be preaching pretty soon at Our Savior's. But thinking a little more about this text from Mark chapter 9, which is one of the most difficult texts for preachers to preach. Raise your hand if some of you are lay preachers in this church. No? No? Well, a lot of churches in our movement and in yours as well do have lay preachers. This one's tough. I think it's good for us to remember that in the midst of this argument that Jesus' disciples were engaged with, the disciples seemed offended that they observed someone else healing people in the name of Jesus Christ. In the midst of that argument, Jesus proclaimed, if someone is not against us, he or she is for us. And that's good for us to remember because it promotes, I think, belief in the unity of people who follow Christ. But also, I'm thankful at this point that Jesus goes into some very serious warning about the need for Christian people to be severed from sin. It's always important when we speak about this in public to say he's not literally speaking about cutting off hands or feet or plucking out eyes, but rather Jesus is talking about how the Christian believer becomes severed from sin. And we trust in God to help us by God's grace to remember we are forgiven for Jesus' sake, because Jesus is the one who died. It's his blood that was spilled. And that blood of the new covenant is the assurance that we are indeed God's children through Christ, through faith, through baptism, and people who are assured of God's help to live this life of being severed from sin. But then Jesus goes ahead and he talks about salt and peace. And the transition to me seems a little bit abrupt. But we need to be rescued by the proclamation of good news about who we are. People who are been made pure, just the way salt is pure. And we are reminded that we are people of peace. Now, the big piece that starts with each one of us when we receive a gift of faith by the stirring of the Holy Spirit, a faith that is the kind that causes us to be committed to Jesus Christ, to become baptized people, people of mission, to extend the good news of Jesus throughout the world. This Spirit is the Spirit of God. This Spirit of unity is the Spirit of Jesus. And so for him to remind us we are reconciled, by speaking of peace, we know that we are reconciled to God and to one another. Then we know that we're being prepared to do the work of Jesus in this world. And maybe our work will have something to do with healing. We certainly are praying for those who need healing here today in this congregation. Or maybe this work has to do with talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, or inviting someone to church. Or maybe this mission has to do with serving those who are in need in some way. And certainly I see and hear a lot going on around here already today. And trust me, I hear from Pastor Cynthia too, because we meet together with a group of ministers. I hear of the dedication of this congregation to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So today, let us not be unaware of our responsibility to teach children and to protect them. Let us not be unaware of the need not to stumble, and let us understand the reality that in Christ we have been severed from sin. For indeed, Christ was the one who was severed from the holiness of his Father, coming down from heaven to be with us, to teach us, to feed us, to heal us, and to call us into his body. And he is the one who on the cross was severed from God, even dying for us. We believe in his resurrection, and we believe that he's coming again to bring us unto himself. And so it is today that I rejoice in the unity of Christ. I rejoice in the reality of the ministries that you are doing and that we are doing in our Savior's, and in all of the bodies of Christian believers around the world. I do believe in the unity of the people of God through Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for your ministry, and thanks be to God for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen.
Stand and sing page 67, verses 1 through 4 in our hymnal.
Jesus, come for years to come. Our souls.
are treats downstairs. Please stay for a fellowship hour. Would you lead us in a benediction, please?
Oh, please. We can do this together.
Okay, I didn't know what you were saying.
We have come into this place to worship God.
Let us go forth also to worship God. We have come into this place to feel the warmth and healing of God. Let us go forth to spread the warmth and healing of God. May this day and every day warm you in the light of Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with